Happy Bitcoin Friday afternoon, freaks. It's your boy Odell here for the second of a Citadel Dispatch doubleheader on this Bitcoin Friday. I am fortunate enough to be joined by previous guest of the pod and good friend, Rockstar Dev. How's it going, Rockstar?
Always amazing when we're together, Matt, so. Always amazing.
It's been a big week.
It has been. I mean, we've been on panel together, then a workshop on privacy, and a funeral tomorrow. You really have this Bitcoin part going with events.
So the funeral that Rockstar is talking about is he is ending this NIM. He's ending this identity tomorrow. And I'm going to have the honor of conducting the funeral. Is that the word?
Yeah, leading the funeral, really, yeah. With your beautiful voice. And I can't wait for the eulogy. You don't want to share any details of the eulogy yet.
Very good eulogy.
Well, I hope so.
No, I don't want to build it up too much. It's my first eulogy. I've never given one before.
Oh, so I'm your first. Nice.
Yeah, and you're going to actually be listening to it, which is like, it adds extra pressure.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm still hoping you jump into casket with me.
No shot. Not going to happen.
Okay.
It's important to set expectations correctly. So last time you were on the show, when was the last time you were on Dispatch?
No, that's a hard question. I guess it's been like four months.
If I was Stefan, I would already have that information available, but I really do not know.
I don't know. You're good with episodes. I love how you have those favorite episodes and someone mentions some topic and you're immediately like episode 43.
Well, 43 is for beginners episode. That's an important one to remember.
Yeah.
Shout out to Q&A for helping with that.
Shout out to him. I hope you like how Matt and me have delivered with those stamps. We have whole Miami with nokyconly.com stamp. That was a good one. So yeah.
Yeah, I think he was happy about that. We argued about that on air.
Oh, which episode is that?
Oh, I guess we didn't argue. Like, we didn't argue about it. We talked about it. We planned that out. Me and you planned that out together on air.
Oh, I thought you were talking with him. Yeah, we planned it and we delivered. I mean, we even were planning when the conference was happening. You're like overwhelmed running open source stage. And I'm like, Matt, we have this like organizer lady here that's like, oh, guys, you can't be stamping dollar bills. Like, and I'm like, Matt, help us out. And Matt's like, Matt, which hashtags should we use?
I was like, I don't know who those people are.
Yeah.
We have Communer in the comments saying, I'm listening to the pod from a few hours ago, and now there's another live one. LOL, relax.
No. We can't do that. Sorry, man. When Rockstar is in the house, we keep going hard. And
hopefully by the time he hears this, he'll be listening to it on the podcast app in like a couple days. So, but shout out to him.
Well, yeah. If he doesn't want to be a rock star, then okay.
Yeah, I mean, my new strategy with Dispatch is when I have good people in the area or I'm near them and I can do in-person conversations, I'm going to pump them out. And when I don't, I'm not going to waste my time or everyone else's time by just putting out episodes. And I don't like sitting on episodes.
Yeah,
I feel like they age horribly. And I like the live format because then we have our fantastic, all the freaks come and join us in the live chat. And
Yeah, and we were talking about this yesterday at the bar. That it's really interesting format, because some conversations can happen only in, you know, certain point of time.
Right.
So this whole thing with my funeral under quotation marks, it's tomorrow.
This
so
is literally the last possible opportunity to interview a rock star.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I do wish I structured it a little bit better, because I did make some commitments after the funeral, but now I'm going for cameos, right? That's how it's called. So everyone is now asking for Bit Block Boom, like, who is Rockstar being there? And I just want to announce on your pod that it will be Gary Leland. He's going to shave his head and be Rockstar. So that's who is attending and presenting BTC Pay Server Workshop with Brit.
It's going to be Gary Leland.
Yeah, my nephew, my oldest
Gary.
Nephew.
Good dude.
Amazing dude.
So I guess let's start with, you know, I really want to start with what I was, you know, I can't stop thinking about today. And so I'd rather just have a conversation about it in the beginning, which is this whole situation with Tornado Cash. The U.S. Treasury sanctioned the smart contract. They got pulled from GitHub. Infura and Alchemy, like the hosted Ethereum node providers, have blocked them. So if users aren't using their own node, they can't access the smart contract. About 15% of the liquidity in there, it was like $60 million or something like that, has been withdrawn since the sanctions happened. Some famous people got dusted. What else is there? Wrapped Bitcoin and USDC got frozen, and one of the 29-year-old developers got arrested in the Netherlands today.
Yep.
A lot of things to unpack there. I'm just curious. I mean, you're obviously you're everybody's uncle. You've been around for a minute. I'm curious on your perspective here. I mean,
yeah, it is something that I've been thinking about, even like as I was starting to contribute to BTC Pay Server, because I don't know how many people remember everything that happened through the history of BTC Pay Server, but
these comments are great. Sorry,
I need to.
Marty always gets mad at me when I read the comments when we're live, but
nah, it's all about, as you say, it happens at the moment.
Look at what SF said. Can't stay long. Got family over right now. Just checking in to say hi. And all caps, thank you, Rockstar Dev. Great work. Killing it since you've been around. Good stuff.
Thank you, SF. Yeah. For me, I've been thinking about this, yeah, as I was even starting to contribute to BTC Pay Server. And there were quite a few moments where you had situations where it's quite obvious that this is coming. As we proceed with separating money and state, it's insane to think that state will not fight back in some form. And we're still not at the stage where it's really direct conflict, but it's obviously indirect, because this whole move to place smart contracts like on the OFAC list, and then there must have been someone in that decision process who was like, how will we even enforce this? There is no robust, there is no fair way to enforce the regulation. So like, what are we doing here? And to me, I've been thinking about that from the perspective of contributing to open source and BTC Pay Server, because it's the same thing. It's like, hey, someone was running BTC Pay Server instance, was accepting funds for
some kind of criminal activity or something.
Yeah, something that's designated as a criminal activity in a local, you know, regulatory region. And now, you created code that allows that. Like, okay, it's your fault.
Yeah, the slope gets really slippery if you start.
If
you start going after developers for the code they write.
Yeah, and again, like, I don't know how many people remember, but I distinctly remember the moment where it's like, okay, it's great that I'm at least a NIM. Well, although, yeah, I'm not so good on this NIM, which is one of the reasons why it's getting killed. But
it's a good timing.
Yeah, it is. But
or maybe like a year ago would have been good timing.
Well, no, I think it's still ahead of the curve because do you remember when BTC Pay Server was highlighted on Alex Jones?
No, I don't remember that.
Well,
when was that?
What's the name of that defense decentralized, like Cody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he went on Alex Jones and then shilled BTC Pay Server.
Right, I do remember that.
Yeah, and when I saw that on mainstream media, like it was like, oh, they were accepting Bitcoin to print guns. I was like, okay, yeah, great that I'm at least
here comes the hornet nest.
Yeah, here comes the hornet nest. And only later do I learn I'm going to dox you, but it's a Bitstein. He had his strategy general hands in all of that, but
of course
it's quite
I mean fun. BTC Pay is perfect for that.
Hey, BTC Pay is perfect as a part of your sovereignty stack, and again
it allows anyone to accept money anywhere in the world without permission.
Yeah, and if you're really at the point where you need to do all this crazy stuff with controlling money flows, you need to stop and start to think, like, why am I in this position? Like, why am I forced to track money movements on the level that's like even today? Like something is wrong with the system. Like, let's go a few steps back and see what is wrong instead of, like, what will they do now that where famous people got dusted? Like, will they arrest Brian Armstrong?
Well, the thing is, Brian can't prove that he didn't.
Yeah,
withdraw the Tornado Cash himself.
Exactly.
So, and I mean, like the first one's like a little bit, like whoever did the first dusting, like dusted 0.1 to like a lot of celebrities, pretty much at the same time. But like, if they just kept, if that just keeps happening over and over again at different amounts, different days, different stuff like that, then all of a sudden it gets really, really messy. Part of the thing that I mean, you mentioned like how is it possible to like enforce this stuff, and like enforcement is obviously difficult, but like one of the main parts of sanctions is like this chilling effect that sanctions do, because it's such a high penalty environment, and it's a lot of it's very vague, so people are scared. We are like the way we're saying our words, we're like watching ourselves on our words. And like, I just want to be clear, like everyone should follow their local laws and not evade sanctions.
Oh, absolutely.
But, there's this chilling effect. And part of me wonders, like, if they were just chilling there in the US Treasury or the Biden administration, there's some rumors that like the directive came directly from the Biden administration. If it was like, hey, like all these so-called, DeFi projects and stuff are like all super interconnected, and a lot of them have like central choke points and stuff, let's just sanction this address, let's just sanction this contract address and just see what hell breaks loose, because like a lot it's not now all the different services are trying to cover their ass, right, and kind of watch how it all unfolds. Like maybe someone was just
but
it's an exploratory thing.
Yeah, but if they're really exploring in that direction, I mean, it's pretty fucked up.
No, it's really fucked up.
Yeah.
But it kind of, to me, felt like a fact-finding kind of thing. Like, let's see what happens. Like, tip of the spear, kind of. It was a very easy thing for them to do. They literally just updated a blog post with, like, the contract address. And then they, like, press send tweet. And then they, like, go to bed. And they're like, let's see what happens in the morning.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have any semblance of a reasonable person, like the idea that you can do that is what, maybe not when you wake up the next day, but the next day when you wake up, you need to start thinking, okay, like is this really how system should operate? Like that you need to arrest a developer in Netherlands, who's like contributing to open source project on GitHub. And do you really want to live in a world where like someone updates their blog post? Like that's a great way.
It's literally all they did was update their blog post.
Yeah. And now you have thousands of people around the world covering their ass. I mean, yeah, I don't want to live in that system. It's just stupid. Like I want to live in a system.
That's the system we live in.
Well, yeah. Well, we keep building towards a better system, because in this one, it's like what did you even solve the problem? Like that's my point. Did you like solve the problem, or you have covered your own ass? Like I don't see that.
It's just a bunch of people scrambling to cover their own ass after the blog post update is basically.
Yeah. And even like that blog post update, it's a question, is it covering someone else's ass? You know?
What do you mean?
Well, there have been recent hires that are like cybersecurity initiatives and
they
all
need
that
to, like,
stuff.
Prove that
yeah,
doing
it's
something.
Like, yeah. So it's like, oh, I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
Well, by doing
like it's not really stopping criminals from doing anything. It's just hurting law-abiding people.
It's even wasting the resources of law-abiding people and like criminals themselves. Like, okay, yeah, it's higher chaos environment in which it's easier to operate because you have better structure, better system. Like, it's not you getting arrested. It's now. The whole narrative is not about, okay, let's look into what's actual crime that's happening here. And let's see too, if someone is doing something really wrong, let's bring them to justice. Like we're talking here about, oh, like developer got arrested. Should GitHub do this? Should like conversation is in a completely different arena. And yeah, it's like waste of resources.
It was a massive waste of resources. And I really don't think it deters most criminals. Like they're still are able to do whatever the fuck they want for the most part.
Yep. So I don't know. I just feel bad for that dev that got arrested. So, and what I tweeted recently about this, it's just like, this is coming and this
was expected.
Yeah. This is why I tweeted, like, if you haven't even an ounce of technical skill, like, get prepared, because simply it will be, as time goes on, it will be more and more attractive to control developers in a sense that code that you now publish has such a big impact.
That you have a lot of value all of a sudden.
And you have a lot of value, and like controlling your code and your impact like brings even more value. So basically, yeah, like the first front line that I see as we continue this down this path of separating money and state, it will be like that's how they're going to target. They're going to target developers at code repositories and be like, okay, Sarah tweeted today that was funny, like Satoshi Nakamoto arrested for inventing Bitcoin and facilitating money laundering, you know?
I mean, this is equivalent to like putting Bitcoin on the sanctions list or putting Ethereum on the sanctions list, saying that whole project is facilitating crime.
Yeah.
And no one can use it.
It's going
in
that direction.
Anyone who develops and maintains it is liable for that.
Yeah.
Even though the precedent, at least in America, is that code is speech and protected.
Yeah, well, we will see soon enough. I mean, it seems like another.
It is one of those things that's like, it could get struck down by courts, but if it takes like 2 or 3 years, the chilling effect is already done. They learned a lot from how the systems work by causing chaos. So like, even though like the check is there, it doesn't really help that much in the short term, right?
Yeah, but the way that I look at it is, it's just, it will go down the path of proof of work, man. We need to put in the work, because like, if you really believe in separating money and state and you really have ability, like it's obvious to you and me, like, why that is a good thing. Okay, do we really believe in it or not? Okay, we do. Then it's whatever it takes, man. It's they put Bitcoin Core repository on a what it is, like, sanctions list, or they, like, you're contributing to Bitcoin, you're facilitating money laundering. Okay, you need to fight. You need to show that it's a wrong approach. And
do you,
what do you, it's store. Yeah.
Do you think that the priorities of most Bitcoin stakeholders, like, are, do you think we are prepared for what comes next? Are you troubled at all by the reactions over the last week of, with all this stuff going on? Or do you think we're in a good place as an ecosystem? I don't know how to phrase the question, but
yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, especially Giacomo was presenting all those different camps in Bitcoin,
right?
Like, speculators, technologists.
Yeah, in Vegas, right? He did that.
Yeah, unconfiscatable. You can Google, watch it on YouTube, Google the video. But I actually think we are, man. In a sense that everyone, there are so many competing conversations, and then some conversations are like, oh, Bitcoin maxis, uniformity right. of thought, this and that. But then it's a, there are questions of, like, let's kick out commies out of Bitcoin. You know, that there are people that are more, like, collectivistically minded. And I always, when those conversations start popping up, I always remember We Are All Satoshi video. You know, that like, I'm in that video as well. And whenever I watch that video, I think it's so beautiful when you see how we come from all walks of life, and, like, all different identities and people with, you know, different values are still unified by Bitcoin.
Right.
So, okay, you know, maybe I don't agree with Saylor that we should assault Ethereum as a security or whatnot, but okay, someone has that viewpoint, and or Corey. Like, okay, that's their viewpoint.
Bitcoin is for enemies. It doesn't matter. You don't have to agree with all Bitcoiners.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like, okay, we have that viewpoint represented. Like, that's actually what everyone is trying. Like, people are trying for that diversity. Well, it's really diversity of thought and viewpoint. And for Bitcoiners, it comes so effortlessly. It's not even, like, it's crazy. So,
but just to go back, I mean, you said that developers should prepare accordingly.
Yep.
Are most of the good developers in the space prepared accordingly? And what do they need to do to prepare?
Well, I would say we are actually pretty good prepared. I mean, we're involved with all these. At this point, there are grants, there are VCs, there are investors. Like, we actually have a pretty good network. So if any of us gets attacked in such a way that, you know, you need to go to court and prove your innocence, like, I would think there would be a fundraiser, there would be a community support, especially, like for myself, I actually, yeah, I don't have any fear. Maybe some developers that are not as popular, but I still, like, I look at Bitcoin Core devs the way they were defended by Jack Dorsey and everyone else, like, represented against Craig Wright.
Yeah,
that was great. That was exactly what the doctor ordered. And I mean, see, we even have, like, fundraisers we have, you know, for non-developers, and it's a stressful ordeal. But
I felt like where you were going with it is that that you think more developers should take their own privacy seriously.
Sure, that's a second part of the answer, where, but I want to really emphasize this first part, because for some of the developers that are super critical for the ecosystem, like it's not like they can just create a new NIM,
right?
And then
it'd be like, so obvious.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, look at the code base, and there needs to be at least some level of doxing and trust in order for collaboration to take part. Like, you can't just accept. Well, it takes time to build a reputation.
Right.
If
you have a new identity, you have to build the reputation up.
You need to build the reputation up. You need to build trust with other developers you're collaborating with. Otherwise, like, I don't know, there are rockstar developers that can just join project and
but you
take
could
off.
You could also, like, there's different levels to the shit, right? And different trade-offs. I mean, you could do a situation where you create a new identity, you create a new NIM, and then through trusted channels you already have from Rockstar, from the previous, I'm just talking
generalities,
from the previous identity, those connections, if you already have trusted channels there, you tell a few of them, you know, this is my new thing, and then the greater world, you have more insulation from the greater world. It's not perfect, but you also are able to.
But that's exactly
the trust process or whatever, right?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, because that still requires a certain level of trust. Because once those other developers get subpoenaed and dragged into court, and it's like, who is this NIM?
It's like, oh, that's
that's whoever. So that's exactly what I'm talking about. At certain level, you just need to provide environment in which collaboration can happen. One interesting thought that comes to mind is maybe we can have a like coin join for developers. Like, I quit my Rockstar dev NIM and I just start a new language and new project, and then some other great dev from another project joins BTC Pay server. So we can like mix developers. But yeah, in all seriousness,
I mean, that requires a massive level of trust too, right?
Well, no, that one actually is way easier, because like, I've been coding for over 2 decades. So if I need to learn a new technology, a new project, it will be easier for me to do it. Plus, imagine Bitcoin Core developers switching to, I don't know, L&D project. Like, they have easier time. Like, they already have knowledge, but it takes some time to develop. But I think like those trading developers between projects can be interesting. However, if we want to go and expand on this, like developers preparing with their NIMs, yeah, definitely. I mean, if there is a piece of free open source software that you will be contributing in next 3 years and you haven't started yet, like, it's a great time to come up with NIM that's disconnected from everything. And sure, I mean, you can seed it with previous reputation, but it's best if you avoid it. And even in Bitcoin Core, we are lucky to have a few devs that are, you know, pretty well set from the privacy standpoint, and, you know, they're not doxxed. So, yeah.
We have a lot of those.
Yeah, like lately, people are joining. So, and what's the name of, what's the NIM of the dev that was supported by Spiral?
Z-Man,
yeah, Z-Man.
It's got a NIM so strong, no one.
Yeah, you can't even like remember the NIM. It's like Z-Man. Okay,
that was Z plus a bunch of letters and numbers.
Hey, so yeah, that's inspiration, and even that he managed to get a grant on a NIM is, yeah.
Now, they said supposedly that they didn't dox him for that grant, but one of my concerns for a while has been, you know, Spiral is not a 501c3 tax deductible organization.
Yep.
So like Square doesn't get, or Block isn't getting a tax deduction for those grants. It's basically just essentially facilitating their other business and making the Bitcoin network more robust, so it's worth it for them. So my understanding is they didn't have to dox him to give him that grant. But HRF grants and OpenSats grants, because they're tax deductible, you have to have them fill out a tax document, because otherwise you could be getting tax deductible status and just basically taking the money yourself. So my concern is privacy developers or developers in general needing the money so badly that they essentially dox themselves to the U.S. government and to whatever 501c3 organizations.
Yep, it's a valid concern, and we should do something about it. Like, support more of those grants that are not tax deductible, and nothing is free. If you want to support privacy of devs, hey.
We also have BitcoinDevList.com.
Yep,
where you can donate directly to developers with Bitcoin, with no middleman. Awesome. And also, what's really cool is, I don't know if you're aware, Rockstar, but when freaks support Dispatch, they also support a bunch of open source projects directly through the streaming sats on Podcasting 2.0. So like when they stream sats, also some go to Raspi Blitz, Zeus, RoboSats. I know I'm forgetting somebody. RoboSats, Sparrow, and Seed Signer.
Let's go.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
No middleman. Yeah, so what do you want to talk about, Rockstar? I got you in the studio.
Yeah, I'm reading the comments here. Your privacy is as valuable as your freedom. You have that great hashtag, no privacy, no freedom.
No privacy, no freedom, no freedom, no wealth.
Oh, I added there is a
two
good
more
oh.
on to the end now.
So now you're connecting it.
Why is privacy important, Rockstar?
Privacy, well, we talked at the panel on that one, and it's important not only for what we said about like security versus convenience, right?
Yeah.
It is important for structuring your daily interactions in such a way that they are sustainable. And as a developer, to me, that's so intuitive. And I think it's intuitive to all of good developers. It's like when you're building a system, if you're making everything public, you just have a crazy mess where everything calls everything, nothing is structured, everything is mixed, is just not a good system. And you also look at the fact that more wealth you have, the better privacy you have in your life. You're just not forced to disclose information that you otherwise need to disclose. I mean, here in the US it's getting to crazy levels where like you apply for a job, you need to do background checks, social security, just to apply for a job. While that doesn't apply to people that are in position of power. So, yeah, to me, it is a prerequisite, because otherwise, if you are not able to build a system where privacy is respected and afforded to everyone, it will just be like a terrible system to live in. It's also like another process comes to mind. I don't know, Matt, have you ever coded? But you know how when you're developing application, you are like debugging application. So you have access to all the internals of the app. But once app is done and you need to release it, you compile it and, you know, just make it into a package.
Right.
That now you can't probe the internals of it. Like, and you know, okay, have you built a good app? Have you built a good system? It works. You don't need to poke into every single
right.
line. You just like let it run and it does what it was supposed to. If you have created a shitty app, that's where you need to like go, okay, now I'm going to attach debugger. Now I'm going to ship application with all debugging information. So now my executable is bloated. My system is bloated. Like it's logging a bunch of stuff. It's slow. It takes so much more time. And that's what I'm seeing really with these systems, is like government essentially issues some kind of regulation, and it's a regulation to ship executable with more debugging information. You know, okay, now everyone at the airport will need to
take your shoes off.
Yeah,
scan your face.
Yeah, like, and it's like, okay, let's do it, but let's figure out a better way. Let's eliminate the bugs in the code. It's like, no. You know, more logging, more debugging. So get a better programmer or, yeah. So,
well, I mean, we had, I always go back to Eric Hughes, the Cypherpunk Manifesto.
Yep.
1993.
Yep.
Privacy is not secrecy. It's the ability to selectively reveal yourself to the world, to choose what you want to be public with proper consent for it. And when I think about no privacy, no freedom, if you don't have privacy, then individuals, entities can control you by using information against you that you didn't want available to them. So that's why freedom requires privacy. And the reason I take the next step is mostly for the pure so-called number go up Bitcoiners, which is that wealth requires freedom, because if you don't have freedom, it's not your wealth. It can just be taken away from you. So you put two and two together, if you don't have privacy, you can never be wealthy.
Yeah. Well, if you don't have privacy, what happens is system becomes stale. Like, those that are already wealthy are in much better position to stay wealthy. It's a system that leads into like decadence. It leads to stagnation, because you look at the world today, it is going in the direction of public by default, and you see that it's just producing so much noise, so much unnecessary information that's not well structured, and that doesn't allow you to really, as you say, like I have that saying, you should control information, information shouldn't control you. And it is getting to the point where people are just overwhelmed with information. It's a form of madness, information overload. And it should be obvious to everyone in society that we just like can't keep going on like this, in a sense that you can't keep triggering people through like mass media that is now, it's like.
Well, it could go on for a little bit longer, but at some point it's all gonna, my optimistic take has always been that everyone just gets burned so hard that we go back to the basics and people realize the need.
Yeah, I come from the different culture where it was much, much more enforced, in a sense that you shouldn't like publicly disclose like stuff that's awkward or, you know, shameful about you and all that. So it is more towards private part, privacy, you know, minded setup. But what I've also learned is that you do need to let people make mistakes and fail, in a sense. What you're saying, maybe like burn themselves. Sorry. I think that what will happen for most people here is just like they will get better at filtering information. Like, if you want to live a normal life, hey, you will just get better at filtering information and news. You're going to find better sources.
Well, yeah.
And you will like structure your life in such a way that you have higher level of privacy, and that you're able to, that allows you to live richer life, that allows you to live life where you're not controlled by information outside.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is for the last few decades or many decades, we've slowly as a society, particularly in the developed world, in America and elsewhere, we seem to have been groomed as a society to be less and less responsible for our own actions. There's someone holding your hand. There's someone telling you what you cannot do. There's, you know, so-called safety nets. There's all this stuff that takes away the individual's personal responsibility. And getting back to that state is not going to be an easy process. But ultimately, tools like Bitcoin, tools in the greater open source movement, they require a radical personal responsibility. And for people, that's a massive like paradigm shift, right?
Yeah.
And it comes with failures. It comes with failures. It comes with getting burned. It comes with learning hard lessons.
Yes, it does. But it's a path we should go down because living in a nanny state. Look at that comment.
Comments are lit right now.
Yeah. Also, reading Braj with like people in Epstein's book seem to have pretty good privacy.
Yeah, because they're wealthy.
Yeah, it's
the wealthy have privacy, and that doesn't mean that you might not see them. You might see them on the cover of Vogue, but they're selectively revealing themselves.
Very selectively, like creating a narrative.
They don't have secrecy. A lot of them don't have secrecy. Some of them do. But they have privacy. And when I look at the way like Bitcoin is unfolding, like there's no doubt in my mind that the wealthy will have privacy.
Yeah.
What I'm concerned about is the other 95%.
Yeah, more like 99%.
Yeah,
I am concerned about the same thing. My work in Bitcoin ecosystem is the way, you know, table is set right now. We are going towards cyberpunk. It is like high technology, low quality of living, where, you know, you have a small percentage of population that managed to elevate themselves to that point where it's just some segments of population will never catch up. And you know, I like high technology, but I don't like low quality of living for majority of population because it's just, yeah.
Yeah, so when we look at how to solve that or how to mitigate that or how to prevent that outcome from happening, it is basically it's the Bitcoin and open source movement. It's empowering individuals using freedom tech.
Yes, and that's where we now need to, you know, stake our claim and, you know, draw a line in the sand and fight for it. Like, you know, this whole OFAC nonsense comes to Bitcoin, like, okay, let's figure out how to fight back. Otherwise, even for those that would be like fighting us, it's a worse future for most of them. Maybe there is, you know, someone on that other side of the fence that will be better off, that will profit individually. But for majority of them that are against us, like it's also worse outcome. Why would you want to live in that kind of future? So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the reasons, you know, I do this podcast and I do a lot of the other things I do in this space is because I think the first and foremost reason is that people just aren't aware of a lot of this shit. They're just in this little ignorant bliss mode where they're not even thinking about it, right?
Or they're aware of it and are finding a way to, like, what's the best way to fight? And it says, that's why I love you, Matt, because you rally the troops and provide actionable, as you say, actionable discussions. Like what's the next step? Like your guides on how do you flash your phone with custom ROMs for Android? How do you do this? Like, because when you also look at my own contribution to Bitcoin ecosystem, it's not that I had everything figured out on my own. No, I've joined Nicholas, and Nicholas was that leader that said, "Hey, I have a mission. The mission is obsolete BitPay because they publish a bunch of lies. Hey, it's easier. Yeah, I'm gonna make you obsolete," and he did. But for me, like looking at my own thing, is like it was great that I had a clear cause to join, and I didn't need to invent my own cause. So I think that's what's happening for most people. And I also now see it in wider, like career field. Like, I have a lot of younger developers reaching out and, you know, saying, okay, how to best structure my own contributions in next decade, you know? And I am so glad for Bitcoin because it's such a rich ecosystem with so many quality developers and so many quality projects where people can spend really like meaningful time, the days, like they can have meaningful impact. It's not that you're working for right. baseless corporation on their closed source CRM number 1 million, like 50, you know.
It's an extremely vibrant, impactful developer community.
Yeah, it's fun being part of this movement. And then thanks to, like, I'm telling you, diversity within the community, like anything that you're not specializing for, hey, there is someone that is, and you can follow their lead. Like, I make a joke to like all the new podcasts that are starting, is like, why are you doing that? That's just, you know, Shill Matt's podcast, and the rest of us going to rally under the banner. We're going to do like small episodes. But that's also what's good. Like, okay, try to fork, and you know, if your fork is better, like, okay, let's go.
I mean, it's good that I think the Bitcoin content landscape right now is as vibrant as it's ever been. It's robust. It's vibrant. There's too much. There's so much content out there. You can't consume it all, but that's good. People have options. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, that's the natural process of replication. That's how it happens. What was one?
But if you look back, even like 4 years ago, on both the developer side and on the content side, the growth has just been tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just hope it continues. And Rico says, yeah, we're in silent war. We have been losing since internet was created. But I don't know. I
wanted to talk about that because, you know, we quoted the Cypherpunk Manifesto. It was written in 1993.
Yep.
So 19 years ago. Like, perfectly encapsulates everything we're dealing with and what the mission forward should be. I mean, it's like the most prescient piece of fucking text ever. And so that came out of the crypto wars of the 90s. Do you think, are there, you know, what is the differences between then and now? I mean, you're an old timer.
Yes, I am.
Have we outperformed in the last 19 years? Like, are we in a much better place than like, I don't know, like 1993 Rockstar would consider where we could be in the future? Like, are we doing better than expected, worse than expected?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, because when I read, yeah, Cypherpunk's Manifesto, and when I read old, you know, like all the contributions from cypherpunks of old, it is amazing that they had that type of foresight on what is coming up. And it's like clearly described, like, why it is important that we, you know, fight this fight of decentralization. It's really super inspiring because, it's like the prediction is amazing. So as to like, what is it, better, is it not? I don't know. I miss
like
BBS.
Are we doing good?
Yeah, like, I think we are. I mean, I do miss BBS. I miss you know, Earth chats. I miss those, like, but I don't know.
Why do you miss them?
I miss them because there is not so much gamification, and there is not you know, like, so much central control. Because we can dislike Twitter as much as we want, but that's the place you go to, you know, discover so that right. your content gets discovered, and it's a gamified system. And
It's like a pretty evil.
Yeah, but
evil platform, right?
Yeah, it is.
Like surveillance and manipulation, censorship.
But through all of it, there are some beautiful things happening. It's just okay. Like we you know, moved forward a little bit. We moved backwards, but I think we are advancing now. What's important is, yeah, you have like TikTok. That one will be amazing battle. Is because you will now have a social media giant that's outside of US. And
first one.
Yeah, really first one when you think about it.
Except maybe Telegram.
Well, yeah, Telegram is a good one, but still Telegram is controlled by someone who is not in Russia, right? So the guy needed to
But he's not American.
He's not American, but he needed to like leave Russia because his V contact got owned by government.
Yeah, right? He had like the Russian Facebook and like the government took it from him.
Yeah, basically.
Durov, one of my favorite tinfoil theories is it's a Russian operation and that was just the setup.
Oh, so that you
like him and Putin had a deal or whatever and it's like, okay, just leave the
Yeah, and stay our agent. Well, maybe. I don't know.
I'm really torn on it because, like, on the surface, I love Durov. Telegram, I wish, was encrypted by default. But I think it's a very powerful platform. And I think he's done a lot of good things for users. Like, very user-friendly policies. But there's also, like, a good chance that he's a...
How about
he's a honeypot for either the U.S. or Russia?
Yeah, but how about we get him on Citadel Dispatch and you can ask him like,
"Are Durov, if you're listening now, the invite's open."
Hey, I'm gonna like send the message for you, Matt. So we will see. Yeah, but then Telegram, okay, and TikTok. To me, it's also like quite obvious that it's already used as a weapon in a sense, like TikTok.
Yeah, Rico in the comments. Is mentioning Element, which uses Matrix protocol. It's saying it's super encrypted. It is encrypted. We actually have a Matrix chat for Citadel Dispatch. If you look on the screen, that's the other chat that's being shown. You can get to that by going to CitadelDispatch.com and clicking Citadel.chat. We have over 1,000 ride or die freaks in there. And the conversation... it's always going. It's always great conversation, even when the show is not live. But yeah, TikTok, I mean, is... and it's frightening how, you know, well-oiled that machine is on the TikTok side.
Yeah, we talked here.
Really good surveillance, really good manipulation on that front. Really addicting, super addicting.
Mentioned about
like the evolution of...
whole capturing video and mic so that they can get your emotions of when watching. Like, did you really laugh at the video? Like,
yeah, they like watch your facial reactions and listen to your microphone while you're watching videos so they can
optimize the algorithm.
Yeah, so they can harvest that.
Yeah, but
the social media thing really scares the shit out of me. And like, I know I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because of my Twitter usage, but Twitter is my only social media. I try and keep it Bitcoin focused.
I would so,
but Twitter's an addiction, and I should not be using it. We would have never met.
Yeah, that's the point because, like, I'm telling you,
I go back and forth on it.
If there is Odell TikTok, I'm subscribing to that one definitely.
Never TikTok.
I don't know, man. Like,
Marty wanted to make a fucking TikTok for RHR, and I was like livid. It was actually on air when I found out. Everyone can go watch the clip. It's in the archives. I was against even having an Instagram. Fuck that shit. And then the argument is always like, you can reach more people.
Yes, that's the paradox of privacy, like, that we spoke. It's like, if you want to spread the best practices about privacy, you need to be public.
But someone else can, so, you know, I've already done enough on that front. Someone else can be the TikTok BTC sessions or whatever. Like,
TikTok Odell.
TikTok sessions.
Okay. Can't wait for outcome.
I like reluctantly added the YouTube because the freaks like using the YouTube. So
convenience, yeah. But TikTok Odell. Yeah, well.
It'd be hilarious if there was, I mean, I don't know because I'm not on TikTok, so there might already be one, but if there was like a TikTok influencer that just like constantly just tells you to not use TikTok.
There we go.
But we're getting derailed a little bit. The social media stuff really scares the shit out of me. Particularly, you know, I want to have a family, like raising kids in this environment is tricky. And I wonder like the kind of damage that's going to happen to the majority of our youth, not my children, but the majority of the youth due to the influences of all the social media shit.
Yeah. I mean, we actually spoke about it on workshop yesterday is because that's exactly where the battle is. Okay. You know, like information is destroying your own life and, keeping you occupied every day with like this shit, that shit. Okay. You can battle, you know, you hate yourself the most anyways, but what about people that are near and dear to you? You don't want them to go through the same thing. It's like, right. You don't want to live in a setup where your family, the information from outside is stronger than the information inside. Like what?
So you know what I did that was really good hack?
What?
Signal group chats.
Yeah.
For family.
Yep.
And a lot of friends. I got a lot of friends on that too.
Yeah, but that's exactly what it's all about.
It's a good balance. I tell them, I know they want to share baby pictures. I know they want to share all these different photos and stuff. I'm like, do not post them on Facebook. You can spam us in the Signal chat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but that's practical application of what we are talking about. Is like you get everyone from Viber or stuff like that. Okay, get them onto Signal. Create
do
groups
for
them.
Still use Viber?
Yeah, they do, man. They do. It's just like convenience.
Blast in the past on that one. Well, Viber's like the walkie-talkie one, right?
No, I mean it's
primarily the voice messages, right?
Like it's still messages, but it's what people use. Listen, even that one is okay. At least like it's not Facebook Messenger. Like you tell people like get out of, you know, that shit, and you help them. Like that's practical application where you say, okay, I set up a group for you. There is auto deleting messages. Okay, let's go with baby pictures. But thank that baby when grows up, like will be so thankful that. Okay, grandma has the picture, but it's not like
not like millions of servers.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, imagine that. We're like you go to your to school, like your fifth or sixth grade, and you know, like everyone has a pictures of you being like for your baby. It's just crazy. It's like that's your information. That's piece of you. Like it shouldn't be under control of everyone. So. So yeah, you brought up a good point because
if there's someone out there listening and watching this that's at Bitcoin Park right now, can you bring me a beer? A Pilsner would be great. That'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's.
You want something, Rockstar?
Nah, I'm good. But
Rockstar's good.
See how you're using the convenience, man. Like a blasting the information worldwide just for a beer.
It seemed like a interesting opportunity. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it is. It's
pretty cool because when we go live, usually people have it on the TVs in the park. So,
hey, that's exactly illustrating our point. But
I cut you off. What were we talking about?
No. I was talking exactly about this, and we are now. No, we're getting into Signal groups, and we're getting into NIBs.
Signal groups.
And we're getting into NIBs. And there is a beer. Look at that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
That was a really quick turnaround. Appreciate you.
And now that's actually, recorded forever. So whoever wants to listen about NIBs and code.
10,000 sats to the freak who figures out how much time that took between the the request and the delivery.
Yeah, this is definitely illustrating our points, but ready to go into names?
Sure.
So, as I talked on the panel, for me, everyone is talking about privacy as that trade-off, security, convenience. It is about robustness. And I have a system where for every identity you come up with, you need to have three NIMs. So your listeners, like, yeah, freaks, they're good with that. But I always encourage people to at least like start with one NIM and test out how that works for them.
We have a heavy NIM listener base.
Yeah, but that's how it's supposed to be. I just think that people invest too much time into building reputation like one NIM. Like, you need to use NIMs to explore things that you really want to explore without any breaks, without any reservations. Like, hey, you know, I really want to see how you know, I want to experience something. And that's where, like, I'm really surprised. Like, I think I always thought everyone had like a NIM that's like sexy girl and invested time into it. Like, did you ever, Matt, had that NIM?
Did what?
A NIM when you were a sexy girl.
No, but I do have a funny story with that. That's someone who went to, after I graduated college,
okay.
Someone from my same college that was currently enrolled, so yeah, my alma mater, got interested in Bitcoin, saw that I was interested in Bitcoin, and like reached out to me to like get my advice on how he should approach his career. But to get my attention, he DM'd me from his extremely large NIM account, which was like classy white girl or something, and he had like a million and a half followers.
There we go.
And his first message was like, I know this is weird, but I'm a dude and I go to blah blah school and I would love to have a coffee with you.
There we go. Like, but yeah, that's actually a big mistake. Like, oh, he felt so insecure that he will not respond, so he needed to use like his most powerful NIM. Yeah,
he's
but
listening. Shout out to him.
Yeah, but look at that. That's interesting. But to me, like, you need to explore that, and that builds your root identity in a sense, with knowledge and like better understanding interactions between people. Plus, yeah, if you have 1.5 million followers, I mean, you can start your cosmetics line. Like, that's an option.
He's probably doing that right now.
Hey, more power to you. I mean, I want some royalties though. reach out to me.
Again, like, Braj, BRB installing Bobs. I'm obviously like on the NIM scale, that is more difficult going cross gender.
Well,
right, like, isn't one of the easy tricks that I've always done with NIMs is you try and keep some, it's easier if there's some similarities.
I don't know.
It's easier if there's some consistency, like a bedrock of truth that you can kind of go off of. And like, there's no bedrock of truth if I was going to pretend to be a woman on the internet.
Why isn't? Like, there is a feminine side in you. Yeah.
You should see the face he's giving me as he says this.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to do him in person. Just he's looking me right in the eye as he says this.
Yeah.
Stop trying to seduce me on air.
Okay, if that's how you read it. But no, there is like feminine side inside of you. And if it's not, that NIM will allow you to develop it.
Yes, James. NIM means pseudonym. So like Braj or Rockstar Dev or James, potentially, if that's not your legal name.
Yeah.
Some people choose like real looking NIMs, like John Smith or something like that. And others choose
Rockstar
Dev.
Yeah.
With a zero.
Yeah. Well, just Rockstar Dev wasn't available. There is the whole GTA thing. So, yeah, but that's why people think, oh, you need to make a choice. You don't. Like, create one name with name like Rockstar Dev, create one with John Smith or Matt Odell. It's a great name, you know? So go for it and see how it will impact your identity and reputation building. And we actually had that question: if I could do it all over again, would I choose?
Like, yeah, I asked you that. Would you choose a real looking name?
And I,
because like everyone knows you weren't born Rockstar Dev.
And yeah, then I brought up that I can actually change name it. Yeah, actually born Rockstar Dev. But no, I wouldn't. I think
you like the flair of picking.
Yes, and it allowed me to experience identity that has like kind of catchy, you know, name. So it allows me to explore being a rock star, right? Becoming one. It is, you know, it's really...
Can you play any instruments?
Well, I'm not that type of a rock star. I'm like party rock star, which is what was experienced yesterday.
You were out pretty late last night.
Yeah. I need to get Rod in here to share some of the details. But to me, yeah, it definitely developed the rock star persona inside of me. And I mean, you even witnessed some media in that direction that we were talking about. It's like, yeah, pics and videos that I didn't even know were took, but it's like, you can be whatever you like. That's the thing. And you just need to commit to it, stick with it. And, you know, if it's not working out, okay, move on. If it's working out, you can keep doubling down until you get to the point where it's obvious that information is controlling you way more than you're controlling information. And then it's time for funeral and you move on.
So I have a question for you. A week ago or something like that, I don't even know how to keep track of time anymore. It all kind of just blends together. CoinDesk released an article about the shitcoin devs, the Solana devs. There's two brothers that basically operated like 14 NIMs or something like that, and were running, you know, like a massive amount of the volume of Solana was just these two brothers pretending to be like 14 projects.
Yeah.
And they doxed the brothers in the article. They had the brothers, I guess, felt guilty at one point, and they wrote like a draft post doxing themselves, but they never published it. And then it got leaked to CoinDesk, and CoinDesk doxed them. And I posted something, yeah, which I stand behind, about doxing is not okay. You can't dox people. If you believe there's fraud, you can deal with a fraud case separately. But you shouldn't dox people. What is your thoughts on that situation?
Yeah, you approached that problem from the perspective of like, it's not okay or moral to control someone else's information on, you know, on their behalf. Is basically that's the lens through which you are looking at the problem. But it is a situation where things are already at the point where you can't have a...
And when we say docs to the freaks that are confused, we mean they release their legal names publicly.
Like root identities.
Yeah.
And yeah, the point is that situation is already at state where there can't be a reasonable or quality outcome. And it more... The problem is earlier than that. The problem is Solana, that, you know, they need to have this fake traffic.
Right. If you're gonna have a metric faked, then no one should follow that metric anyway. If a metric can be gamed, you assume it's gamed.
Yes.
And then I would also say on the other end, it's definitely valid that, you know, those guys should assume that people are gonna try and dox them, and make it as.
Yeah, so it's just a shitty situation out of which you cannot draw out quality conclusions. It's just like, once you're at that point, is like, okay, like CoinDesk is doing it for clicks.
Yeah, 100% for clicks.
These people like, okay, it's already, you don't have unified outcome. You just have everyone scrambling for themselves and covering their asses. So what you need to do in situations like that is like start looking back in order to draw out like quality conclusions. Like don't, once, yeah, once you're already knee deep in shit, like you're not getting out of that situation like clean. So yeah, should CoinDesk dox them or not? Like,
I mean, they could have released the whole article, everything they wrote, because a big argument they made was, you know, protecting the public. You could release a whole article without putting their legal names in it.
You could, but hey, judgment call. They were like, oh, they did bad to other people, so we are justified in, we want to hurt them. And you're like, well, did you really need to do it? Like, yes, I did. Okay. What can I tell you? The important thing is don't get into a situation to the point where it like you are not controlling information. Like, okay,
right. Ultimately, it was the brothers.
It's hey, what's your
responsibility to?
It is
protect like, that information.
It is, and it's like okay, we can talk about standards or how it should be approached, but hey, you need to control your information. Otherwise, you're leaving it up to other people to control it. And arrange it in such a way that benefits them, which is what you're talking about. Is like, and you're also talking about like what's more important is like it's not only your information, but the information of your family and people near and dear to you. Like the reason why you set up Signal Group for your, you know, people that are close to you is like, okay, like Facebook can't have this information.
Yeah.
So.
And it gets really challenging, right? Because you're relying like. If you have a circle, you're relying on the people in your circle to make good choices as well.
Yep, exactly. And what Rico is now also saying, like doxing is putting someone's life on the line. If you are really in those situations, it's like, hey, you need to have multiple layers of identities so that you just do not allow for those outcomes. You can have a kill switch. So, you know,
you remember in the Wall Street Journal, like doxed where the guy who created CoinMarketCap lived?
No, I missed that one.
It was pretty fucked up. It was like 4 years ago or something like that.
Well,
3 years ago. He sold it to Binance since then.
Well, if you're that guy, is like, well, I guess I'm moving.
They literally took a picture of the building he lived in New York and put it in the paper.
That's like, okay, I guess I'm moving, because
they were like, this man did $500 million of revenue last year or whatever, and here's where he lives. Like, that was like the article. It was fucking insane.
But that's exactly what we have. Like, privacy is necessary for open society and digital age.
Eric Hughes again.
Yeah.
1993.
It's like, yeah, it is, because otherwise you will have situations like that where it's just nonsense. Like, you have all this media that has amazing amount of power and can blast amazing amounts of information in the direction of, you know, various people. Like, if you do not have privacy, how do you even structure your life in such a way that, you know, you can survive those blasts?
Right.
Like, and to me, like, I referenced it, the workshop, like last 7 years, well, 7 years here in the US, where you had mass media, like mainstream media, blast crazy types of information in the direction of people, like expressing their own frustrations. And as a result, like, teared so many families apart on like trivial issues, really, when you scratch the surface. And it's like, oh, it's not trivial. Like, yes, it is from perspective of that family.
Right.
It's like they were living their life and you just like took this crazy information, just like blasted it in their direction like separating them. And then it's really getting to the point where it's everyday decisions. It's like, honey, we should buy Alexa. It's like, no, like we can't. Like, no, we need to buy Alexa. And you suddenly have a conversation that needs to.
Did your lady bought Alexa?
Well.
Is you're speaking figuratively?
I'm speaking completely figuratively.
Yeah.
But that's also the point. It's like,
fucking Alexas, man.
It's then 30-minute conversation that you need to have.
Alexa, turn off the lights.
No, my favorite one is with Alexa is when you go to, like I had this situation like in one household where like child started crying, like was upset, didn't get candy. And it was like, Alexa was like, hey, how can I help? You know, like, do you need 911? He's like, what's going on? He's like, okay, now you need to explain to Alexa, like, what is happening? So
it's just amazing that we're in a world where like people just install wiretaps in their house for convenience. Literally an always on listening device that pipes right into a surveillance company's servers.
Hey, it's a more interesting world. But the whole point is like now you have another point through which you need to feed information. Like now you need to explain to your Alexa like why there was a kid crying.
When government, that's going in the file.
Yeah, that's going in the file. And I'm like, government needs to process it. Like why?
The really bad one recently is because, like, look, if people want to just put, if people want to put wiretaps in their house, I'm not going to go into their house. So it doesn't affect me as much. But the Ring cameras that people are putting, the Amazon surveillance cameras on their front door.
So convenient.
And you're walking down the street and you walk past like 10 of them on your like morning walk or something.
Yeah, you're captured.
Is so fucked, and they spread so quickly. They're everywhere. And there was 11 times this year, it just came out, 11 times this year they gave footage to police without warrants, because you're not protected by the Fourth Amendment because Amazon has possession of the video. It's not your video, it's Amazon's. So it's not warrantless search and seizure.
Well, that's where we need to improve free open source software and provide a stack where people are hosting, you know, like, okay, I'm hosting my own videos. I'm in control. So it is protected under four.
But it's funny because that's how all the video cameras used to work.
Yeah.
You used to have like a server on premise that would hold all the video.
Yeah.
And that's what we have at the park. But we've come full circle. It's like,
it's more convenient. And if you see, like, even people like to say, "Got doxed by Casa today."
Oh, did you see the Casa dox today?
Yeah, it's terrible because it's
so
like
bad. It technically was names, addresses.
Hey, it's how it is, and you have all these regulations that are like, oh, you should. Like in their case, was it even like, were they required to send that, or they were just
it was part of the stack? It was their store where they sold like hardware wallets and Faraday bags and stuff. So it wasn't all of their users. It was anyone who bought items on their store. And they used a third party payment processor. And as a result, that third party payment processor got compromised.
Well, that's how it goes.
What was the list? The list is crazy. Names, emails, phone numbers, shipping and billing addresses, and products ordered.
That's why we're talking about privacy and creating systems where all that information, okay. And again, Cypherpunk's manifesto, where it's like, if I want to buy a magazine, I will give you cash and give me back magazine. Like, you don't need to know everything about my history to like complete this transaction. And once transaction is completed, like that piece of information needs to, okay, it's like 1 month and delete it. Because if we do not really come together and build systems like that, it will be chaos. It's a society in which, like, yeah, you don't want to live. Because what you're mentioning with Ring cameras, it is funny. Like, someone gets access to all those videos like in real time, which is quite possible, and you can identify exactly, hey, this person is here, this person is there.
Yeah, so I mean, there was like this, there was I think a book was written with the title, and then it became almost like a very common saying or meme, which is, you know, data is the new oil, because all these different companies basically monetize data. It was like this new web business model, which was surveil your users, collect as much data on them as possible, and then use that data to monetize the users and manipulate them to increase their revenue even more. But the way I've always looked at data is that it's this massive liability. And we have Raj saying that in the comments, where it's the opposite of oil. Oil is a profitable thing that you have. To me, data is almost toxic as a company. You want to have as little data as possible on your users because it makes it more secure for everybody, and it reduces your own legal liability in that situation, or moral liability. And I wonder if we will see a pivot there, if we will see a situation where, because we already see it in we see it a lot in the Bitcoin ecosystem, where projects try and limit the amount of data they have on their users intentionally. You don't really see it as much in the wider world, but sometimes you see it.
Yeah.
Like Signal, I think Signal would be a good example, right? Signal tries to hold as little data as possible on their users.
Yeah, and it's really about understanding how much information you can control, because information wants to be free. And if you try to keep information contained in such a way to like facilitate a robust system, but if you throw too much information at the system and get to the point where information can be processed, like that's where all the problems are happening. And I am glad that there is, yeah, that movement, the realization of like, we actually don't want to hold like users' information, which is also the decision in BTC Pay Server project. It's like, you saw a privacy policy of BTC Pay Server.
Was it just Doria's face?
Yeah, kind of. It's like, yeah.
That's like the 404, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, it's 404, but privacy policy is like, we don't collect any information by. Like, that's the privacy
yeah,
policy.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
So that's, and the thing is also, is
that's beautiful.
It is, but that's as a developer, you want to contribute to like system like that. You don't want right. to be contributing to a system where like, okay, this is my weekly meeting with lawyers. Let's go over update.
You must feel a battle there because you contribute to both.
Oh, I, yeah.
You have a strike in BTC Pay.
Let's not even get into the subject, like how much more time we have, or it will be like 4-hour episode. But my point there is, what?
I said we've done it before.
Yeah. But my point there is, this is also where our discussion about NIMS is so important, is because, hey, that root identity of yours that you like, okay, you don't want to change it. Like, okay, you don't want to change name. You can change address, but okay, you don't want to change name. Hey, don't use that identity for anything. Like just take at least an effort to come up with different first name, last name, if you're still ordering to that mailing address. And then you will at least have that level of disconnect. Like, okay, it's not tied to your other information. It won't be as easy to tie. Or get traveling mailbox, like get those forwarding services, especially if you're ordering something that's related to, you know, in this case, like money, Bitcoin. Because if you don't, yeah, it is a problem that's festering. And then also companies in this space, like that are like companies in Bitcoin space, like, okay, let's make an effort to go towards a deletion of data. Like, did you really need to have that data on the service for a year?
Right.
Say, let's.
That's what we see. I mean, NVK does that with CoinKite.
Yeah, amazing.
They do auto deletes, I think 90 days.
perfect. Let's start pounding the point where is it? Hey,
I mean, we've seen so many data leaks, especially recently. I mean, Swan got hit this week as well.
Cool.
It was the second time Swan has gotten hit in a couple of months, I think. Unchained had been hit previously. A lot of the crypto services, BlockFi got hit really hard.
Yeah, so that's what I'm telling you, Matt, is that.
And one of the reoccurring things that you see is not only, okay, so reduce the information you collect, reduce the amount of time you hold it for to the bare minimum. Sometimes regulations and stuff require you to hold things. But then the third thing is reduce your reliance on trusted third parties as an organization. So like everyone in Bitcoin pretty much coalesces around, you know, Nick Szabo and trusted third parties or security holes. But there's like a disconnect there as soon as you get to the company, because then the companies all are using their own trusted third parties. So not only are you trusting the company, but then you're trusting, it's like a Russian doll thing. It's like, yeah, you're trusting, there's trusted third parties all the way fucking down.
Yeah, because regulation requires it. There are companies, yeah, that specialize.
But there's some businesses where it doesn't. So like Ledger's third party marketing email service, whatever, got compromised. And that's how the 1 million Ledger users got doxxed.
Yeah.
There was no regulation that required them to use that trusted third party. NVK does all of his marketing in-house, right? It was just treated with a lack of regard.
It is what is happening in wider society, because what that convenience factor you're mentioning, it's like it allows you to get ahead. It's like you're using that service and now you don't need to actually spend time building a robust service. But it's all trade-off. It's like cost benefit, but it goes back to what we are talking about, NIBs. It's like, would it be great that others treat your information and, you know, your identity with respect? Like, yes, it is. But at the end of the day, it's like it's up to you, and it's positioning yourself and putting yourself in situation where, okay, something happens, it's not catastrophic loss. It's basically, yeah, what can you do?
So right.
That's like, I'm telling you, this whole thing also with Rockstar. I don't need to die tomorrow, but my identity and my, you know, the way that I structure interactions with the world, like it will be much better if I die tomorrow than in like 2 years.
What do you aim to get out of ending this NIM?
Control of information. Like Rockstar Persona is already at the point where so much stuff is happening that's, you know, beyond my control. And it's not obvious because didn't bubble up to the level of, you know, public discourse, but, you know, like DMs that I'm getting, like pictures of me, that type of stuff is, it's just like
time for a fresh start.
It is time for a fresh start. And it's also like, I'm telling you, it's good to have those closures because Rockstar Persona takes a lot of time. I mean, you know, like preparing this funeral. Like,
I mean, obviously there's, yeah, a trade-off here, right? That if you had just, if you just stopped interacting with the world from the Rockstar identity and cycled to a new identity and didn't, you know, host a funeral at publicly and talk about it publicly, it would have been it'd be easier to do it, right? Like, you're definitely.
Yes, but it.
So what do you aim to achieve by making it a public thing?
Inspire others, right? Like give a blueprint, get people thinking about, hey, you know, can do the same. Like experience it as well. I mean, you could like have just like, I could just stop responding to your messages and like, what happened, right?
Yeah.
But it's nice to have this kind of closure, right? With you joining tomorrow and like Livera and Zuko, and think there is a reason why funerals exist. So to me, it's also, yeah, it's that closure, and it is okay. There is a selfish component as well, like me experiencing that. So when time comes for my root identity, I will be better prepared, right?
Well, when you actually die?
Well, yeah, my root identity, when it dies, yeah, it will be better prepared.
I feel like we should like lock you in a closet or something while we're doing the funeral, because like people shouldn't be able to observe their own funeral. Seems like it's unfair.
Huh. Why?
We have this, see this producer's closet here? It's completely soundproof. Like not only can you not hear anything outside, but like no one would even hear you scream in there. So
you got to lock me up there with a
lock
phone.
You in there, do the funeral. And then you can come out as a new identity. And I mean, you didn't know who Rockstar was because you were just born tomorrow. So like you didn't miss anything. You just fucking died.
So I'm not like even listening to the funeral as it's
happening. Oh, no, you can never listen to it. No one's ever able to listen to their own funeral.
Now, this is now all you wanting to be in control. or eulogy like absolutely sucks, so you don't want me to hear it.
Well, usually you don't have the pressure of the person who's dying hearing the eulogy, right?
Yeah. Well, sorry, Matt. You got to do this for me. You could just roast him, Riku is saying. Well, that's why Zuko is there. Like, if anyone can roast other people, it's him.
It is nice that it's usually not couth to roast someone at their funeral, but...
No, you should absolutely
they're
roast
listen,
me.
Then it is.
That's exactly what it's all about, is like you should do as much a remembrance of crazy moment as you can. Like, you and I, like, those moments that you remember, like, okay, yeah, you will talk about them. Then with Zuko, with Zuko, actually, I'm not sure he can share some of the moments, like some of the best moments, because, yeah, they were tricky. But Livera, same thing.
But Livera's going to sing.
Yeah, he will. I mean, you heard it today. Like, it's pretty good, right? Why are you laughing?
It was pretty good, yes.
And, you know, like, look at the fact that you're like, you're doing this funeral, like, what's the point? Now with Livera, listeners of Dispatch can know that he will sing American Anthem. So imagine the gift to the world.
Star-Spangled Banner.
Yeah, like, how Livera said it. He's like...
You know, we don't, like, do that at funerals, right?
Why not?
Is that like the stereotypical American funeral? Is that what you
it
think?
Should, yeah, it should be. Yeah, be as immigrant like.
I think some of them they do, but
hey, I want to. I like. Yeah, I will be like, even press F to pay respect. That will be the whole deal. But no, with Livera, he said it well. Like, so he's that bald, shiny head singing. Oh my god. See, like, it's already becoming a meme.
You just like blindly read. You just like blindly read the comment.
Hey, I needed to read this comment, but it's not baldy, bald, shiny head. It's absolutely polished podcast. Like, we love the Aussies. We love Livera. So grateful for that.
Yeah, it'd be a good time. I mean, we have a lot of people come in just for it, which is cool.
It is, and again, if it inspires...
We have two people in the studio who came in just for it.
Yeah, they're like...
And they sat in for the conversation.
Live listening. But if it inspires at least one more funeral, like I would be happy. And then we can start iterating on names. And Gigi also tweeted, well, like, one dies, 21 rise. You know, when Rockstar is dead and there is like a need to contribute more in the space, like some other developers are going to step up. I know it. So need to free up the space.
Are you ever going to come on Dispatch again on your new identity?
Well, I don't know. Let's first get you Durov, right? And then if I come, I'd also need to set up the voice synthesis as well.
Are you concerned about the voice? Because your voice is pretty doxed on this identity.
Yeah, if I'm ever public on another identity, it will need to be a voice synthesis, because, like, I'm telling you, maybe it's my professional deformity, but I love well-structured systems as like engineer. And I really want to like stop the spillover, and I want to wrap up Rockstar Identity and like, okay, it's closure, because every idiot can start a thing. It's hard to like finish a thing. So yeah, if there is a public identity, I definitely need to do voice synthesis. I'm ready for online podcasts. So you, like most people saw my setup, usual, with
right.
money burning in the background, and you have voice synthesis easily. But for this like in-person setup, so I kind of need to figure something out.
There should be something you can just... Like, I have this mixer that I'm looking at right here. It's got to be something you can do with it.
Well, first, yeah. Let me die, rest in peace
yeah,
a little
we'll figure
bit.
It out. First, we have to make the funeral happen.
We will. It will be amazing tomorrow. And, yeah.
Rockstar, it's been an honor and a pleasure. This has been a fantastic conversation.
Well, we didn't spend too much time this time. Yeah. Being a how did you call it last one? Therapy.
Last time was an Odell therapy session. I appreciated it.
Oh,
well, I'm in a better place now.
Yeah, but now it's actually
now I think I
therapy.
Need to give you therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what friends are for, right? We got yeah. as long as we don't both need it at the same time, then we're good.
Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I do. I want to say I love you, man. So you were right. I was hitting on you. And the reason why I'm doing it is just like when I'm gone, like keep inspiring people. Like I know it's not easy. I know we're draining you with all the demands and like Matt, like moderate this panel, Matt, organize this open source stage. But hey, man, who else if not you? So you should also consider starting uncle program. Like, get nephew. See, I have my nephew here in studio. It helps out. So whenever you struggle, Matt, remember this and keep pushing on until you decide to die.
I appreciate you, brother. The feeling is mutual. Yeah, heck of a rip. Heck of, you know, shout out to Rockstar, man. It's been a good run.
It has.
It's both beautiful and horrible to see it ending. But I'm glad to be a part of it.
Old man must die.
I remember when you were just a little rock star.
Tiny.
The little tyke. Arguing about shitcoin support.
Well, that got me a brother that will carry on in my name as well.
But it's been a true pleasure. Well, thank you, my dude, for joining us. Always good having you in town. Always good kicking it. I hope whoever you become visits us in Nashville very often, and hopefully we have many good times in the future with whoever the new...
No. I will always be a rock star to you.
I want to thank all the freaks who joined us today. It's been a great day. We have some great plans tonight, so it should be a lot of fun. I hope you all have good plans. Spend time with friends and family this weekend. As always, you know, I skipped the intro for this one because we did a doubleheader. But I really do appreciate all you freaks who join us in the live chat, whether that's on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, or Matrix. Appreciate you all who subscribe to the show and share with your friends and family. And I especially appreciate y'all who continue to support the show, whether that's through Podcasting 2.0, or the BTC Pay server instance at CitadelDispatch.com or the PayNim. Appreciate it. I really do. Usually I read the top four boosts from the previous episode, but the previous rip was with Sid about 5 hours ago. The amazing thing is there's already more than four freaks who have submitted boostergrams. We have Blockchain Boog 5,000 sets saying time to go to a meetup. What an inspiration. And then we have Tron Sington, 100 sats, no message. Boshko, 50 sats, no message. And F-Dub7, 50 sats, no message. And Slim Shady, 50 sats, no message. Appreciate all you freaks. If you haven't listened to the other two pods, dispatches we ripped this week, consider going back and listening to them at your leisure. I am well aware that I am doing these in kind of a crazy schedule, but the way I look at it is I could hold on to them myself and curate it for you and decide when you get to listen to them, or I could drop them all on you at when they're recorded, because I love these live shows, and you can listen to them or watch them at your leisure, whether that's on Bitcoin TV or Telegram or your podcast app. So got to just practice some of that personal responsibility we like to talk about all the time. Rockstar, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, Matt.
Cheers to you. Stay humble, stack sats, freaks. Peace.